And the fact that you are here to honor the Lord must gladden all our hearts. Tonight, I have chosen this topic. If the ark were real, how was it operated? How did it function? Have you ever wondered whether the ark was the real or only a bedtime story for children to lull them to sleep? Oh, dear friends, what does God's word say? Will you turn with me to the wonderful book called Hebrews? Chapter 11, the great chapter of faith. Then we are going to read from verse 6 to verse 7 about this funny looking boat. People have given it all kinds of shapes and sizes. Verse 6 says, but without faith. I'm on Hebrews 11, 6 and 7. If you haven't found it, please find it before I read. I say again, Hebrews 11, 6 and 7. Here the writer tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Oh, please understand, God is so great, and we are so small and nothing, not even like an ant before him. And he is almighty, all-powerful. So it says here, he that comes to God must believe that he is. There is no other way. There is only one way to approach unto God, that is by faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you come always before the Lord diligently to seek him? Don't come carelessly, frivolously, thinking that you can find fault with God. Never, never do it. Because there is only one way to approach unto God. That is, with total submission and faith, believing. And it says here, diligently. That is, endeavoring your utmost to come and receive. The last part of this verse says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now comes the crunch verse for tonight's message. Verse 7, by faith, Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet, things that had not happened, but God told him. Noah moved with fear. Do you know what it is to move with fear? Quickly. Doing exactly that God wants you to do. Believing that God is almighty, all-powerful, and all love and all concern for you. And when God tells you to do a thing, do it. Believing that it is for your own salvation, for your own good. Noah moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It doesn't mention here, but it is understood. Saving his household of what? His wife, three sons and their wives, altogether eight people. prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Outside the ark, the world, the rest of the people and creatures, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. Up to here is the reading. I have phrased tonight's message as, if the ark were real, how was it managed? How did it function? Do you know the answer? Answer is, firstly, the ark is real. There's no if needed at all, because this is God's word. And as I shall show you from God's word, whatever God says, say amen. And be happy to agree and receive it. Because God can do all things except to lie. Do you know that? Our God is a God of truth. And all that He gives to us in this book, every word of it is true. Now, having said that, we will see some of my OHBs that I've prepared for you. You know, it takes time to prepare OHBs. Many people have asked me, why don't you convert to PowerPoint? I said, you old dogs don't learn new tricks. So old dogs still keep the old tricks. The words of the Lord are pure words. In other words, no padding, no exaggeration, no bluff. Everything that God says, you say amen. Thank you, Lord. When you take up the book, the Bible, have the faith. If you don't have the faith, it says it is impossible to please God. You can read the Bible and refer to the best commentaries, but you keep doubting and doubting, you get nothing out of it. The words of the Lord are pure words, no rubbish, no padding, no exaggeration, no shortchanging. God tells you what He wants you to know, what you ought to know, and you must know. As silver is tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. I'm not a silversmith, but it says just seven times. Wow, it must be very pure indeed. So this is introduction to God's word. If God tells me in the book, there's once a very wicked world that God was so disgusted with, God says, I will wipe them all out. Destroy them. All of them. You believe? When you believe, then you don't have to ask. If it were real, of course, when God tells you there was an ark and all the animals went in and Adam and Noah, not Adam, Noah and his family, eight people, do you know there's a wonderful word in Chinese? Unfortunately, my brain is a bit rusty. I forgot to make this word for you to see. The word chuan shows eight people in a craft. Eight people. Who are the eight people? Noah and three sons make four people. Four men and four wives. How many people? Eight. In a what? Craft.
equals what? Boat. Okay. That one, I hope one day I can show it to you. But you know it as well as I do.
What does the Lord say to us? You see, nowadays, from the moment your child goes to school, that child is immersed in evolutionary thinking. Whatever is spoken, written, and taught assumes everything came by nature, by chance, over time. Everything just automatically happened. This is the most rotten and, I would say, most deceptive language of the devil. Everything came by evolution. No, dear friends, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, all that you see. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the sky, showed His handiwork. When you walk into the garden or you go to the seaside, all the things you see has a message for you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Whatever you see keeps telling you, God made this and God made you. Except God made you. And do you know that God made you in His own image? Not that you look like God physically. Own image meaning you have wisdom, intellect to think, conscience, and the ability to remember and to do good. So whenever you think of the earth, remember this verse. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. I am here. Do you understand? We all are visitors to planet Earth only. All of us. No one is a PR. So many people celebrate when they get PR. What is PR? It is a misnomer. It's a wrong term that they use. Permanent resident, I said, no, you're all temporary residents. So the earth is the Lord's. We are here as visitors, travelers, like tourists. You pass through and then you are out and you are gone. So please remember that when we talk of the Ark of God, the Ark of Noah. Thus says the Lord, whenever God speaks, listen with absolute faith to believe, dear friends. Thus says the Lord, that from thee, from the womb, read Psalm 139, and there you see, it says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I've said many times here, how wonderfully we are made. Why is it your incisors, look at yourself in the mirror, all the front teeth are called incisors, they're used for biting. And all the other molars for chewing, always at the back. Why? Was it by chance? Thus said the Lord, He formed thee from the womb. The moment you were conceived in your mother's belly, God already put the instructions. From one cell, you became 100 trillion cells. How much is a trillion? It's so many, I can't even describe it to you. I am the Lord that make all things. And God condescends to tell us, so be grateful.
there are those who call themselves scientists, evolutionaries, evolutionary scientists. The Word of God says, woe unto them. They strive with the baker, and they thumb their nose at the maker and say, rubbish. We came from amoeba. We came by chance, from nothing, from muck, from dirt. Just came like that. Who has shown it? Has anyone proved in any way? Answer is no, never, never, never. But there is a book that tells us how we came about, how God made us. So those who disagree and fight with God, woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let me ask you, do you really, truly believe God made you? Do you truly believe that the God who made you also made Adam and Noah, descendant of Adam, and then called Noah to make a little craft? We will come to that in a moment. Now, why are we so keen about this topic of Noah and the ark? After all, what do you know about the ark? We know very little. That's why I pose it as a question. If you're real, how did it function? How did it function? Our interest and why we keep on harping about the ark and the days of Noah is because of this, that God is going to judge. The day of Noah was the first judgment. Please understand, the earth is the Lord's, and we are his subjects under his control, his jurisdiction, and he will judge us. The first judgment was on the unbelieving world by water. You see, the Chinese language is pictographic. This is supposed to look like the flow of water. Do you see it? If you don't, I'm showing to you. There's water flowing. The bottom one is fire coming up like this. Do you see it? If not, you should have your eyes examined. Water was the first judgment in the time of Noah. How many people escaped? 8. All the rest of the world of air-breathing creatures perished, all of them. We will come to that in a moment. Now, our concern is not so much about that judgment. Our concern is about the judgment to come, which is going to descend on planet Earth very soon. As I shall demonstrate to you, it is very soon. And you and I must be ready. How can we be ready? So this word, you may translate it from the Chinese as a great disaster or catastrophe. Something that is so terrible that has happened on earth. Firstly, by water. Secondly, by fire. And the word is pronounced in Mandarin, Zai. In many dialects, also sounds like Zai. It just tells us God is coming to judge us with a great disaster for all those who are worthy to be judged. 1 Chronicles 16:33 says, the Lord comes to judge the earth. My concern tonight, and your concern ought to be also, how will God judge me? This is it. You say, I don't care. I couldn't care less, they say. What do you say to that? God made all of us, and He lavishes His care and love on all of us. You say, how come? I never knew. You don't know, I tell you. Do you know if God takes away the sunshine, you freeze in a matter of minutes and you finish? Oh, all of us the same. He gives us sunshine, rain. Without rain, within a few days, the world will be without food. Do you know that? Or the crops will die. He gives the rain, the sun, and all the rest of His goodness. And those who refuse to acknowledge Him will be judged. Will you be judged on that day? I fear not. I hope not. We will come to that in another time. So our concern is not so much for the past, but for the future, for what is coming ahead. For what is past is an object lesson for us to believe what is to come. And for that we must be ready. As I said to you, there are two judgments, just two. This is a global judgment. All on earth will be judged. What has happened is during the time of Noah. Now that one was by water. What is about to descend on planet earth is by fire, you see. We've heard that so many times from you. Always from this pulpit, you tell us the same old story. Is that the same old story? It is so important, I'm telling you again and again, in case you have lost some details. Now, turning back to the story of the flood and the time of Noah. You know that in our own Bible Presbyterian Church, among the pastors, there were some who did not believe, exactly as the Bible tells us, did not believe. In what way? They say, how could the people have lived so long? Turn now to Genesis chapter 5, all right? Genesis 5:32. Right? Noah was 500 years old when God began the story of Noah. 500, you say? How can it be? Who here is 500 years old? No. Mostly 30, 40, 50 or younger. And I'm probably one of the oldest, 80 plus. But 500? How can it be? Now you say, how can it be? There must be something wrong. If you turn to Genesis chapter 4, and all the ages are given, do you know the average age of the pre-flood people
I've worked it out, was 912 of all those whose ages were recorded. Now you say, how can it be? Now I explain very simply so that you can understand the Noah story is absolutely believable when I explain it to you. Why do people die young nowadays? What do people die of? Number one cause is cancer, you know that, right? Besides old age. And even if a person does not get cancer or stroke or heart attack, old age will take them. All right. Why does a person age? Why do you age? No matter what I do, no matter what cream I put on or what tonics, many of you take pity on me, send me ginseng. Take ginseng and you look younger and live longer. I say, really? To tell you the fact, I don't buy ginseng. If people give me, I usually give it away. But I do take some. Yes, I tell you frankly, I feel no difference. I still grow old and I grow weak. And the ravages of time, no one can put off. How did the people in Noah's time, in that generation, live to 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 years old, like Methuselah? How did they? Do you know, I told you the major cause of death is aging and cancer. What causes cancer? Do you know that through the atmosphere comes bombarding on the earth, all kinds of carcinogenic rays and radiation? Do you know that? Now, what filters away and keeps away these things? What is it? Do you know? Water. Water vapor. Now listen. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. God put in the atmosphere a very large collection of water in whatever form I do not know. Probably vapor form. Verses 1, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And God said, let there be a firmament, a space, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the water from the waters. Oh, this is rather strange and mysterious language. In other words, there are two bodies of water. Now, I'm taking time to explain to you why the ages of pre-flood people was so high. As I told you, average age was 912 years. Why? Here it is. Verse 6 and 7. And God made, in verse 7, God made the firmament to divide the waters under the firmament from the waters above the firmament. And it was so. Now do you see? The firmament is atmospheric sky that you look up and you see this sky in which your birds fly. That's called the firmament. God said, let this firmament divide the water into two parts. So there were two parts of water. One is above. Is it there today? Answer is no. What happened to it? It came down. When? During the flood. And that was the water that came down and flooded the whole earth and overwhelmed the people and drown them all. But when God first created the earth, there were two parts of water, with this atmospheric heaven, sky, that you call it, dividing that water above from the water below. What is the water below called? Seas. Water above, water above. No more there. Is it the clouds we see? No. The clouds we see today, all scientists who understand the cloud and the amount of water they contain, even if all that water came down, will raise the ocean level by 2 inches, that's all. So, when it came down in the time of Noah's flood, it raised the level until the highest hill was overflowed with water, 22 feet. Do you know that? All right, I've explained just one part. Now, we are not here to preach to you about the flood at all. I'm just explaining to you some of the things that help you understand. Now you may ask also, how did Noah know how to erect and build that enormous 400 feet long craft? Was he a boat builder? Answer is no. But this was not a boat. Please understand, it was not a boat in the real sense. In other words, it was not shaped for sailing. What was it for? What was the ark constructed for? For shelter from water, that's all. It was to be a water-safe vessel to float and to keep the inmates, animals, and 8 persons alive through a flood that lasted 371 days. Could Noah have constructed this craft? It is very long. It is equivalent to 500 railroad carriages with a storage capacity 1.4 million cubic feet. In terms of square feet, 95,000. Those of us living in HDB flats, the average size, let's say, is 1,000. It is equivalent to 95,000 of these. 95,000 square feet. How big a craft it was. So if you ask, was it big enough? Of course. If it is equivalent to 500 railway carriages. Do you know how many? 500? Amazing. It's equivalent to something like 20 football fields. How do you contain the animals? Now, we are not here to talk about the flood. But remember, this was the days before the flood, before there was any killing of animals. And animals were man-friendly. You read chapter 1, how all the animals came in chapter 2, came. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 19, out of the ground came every fowl and brought them to Adam. So that Adam could call them their names. Why is it? Because God created all the animals and the birds as man-friendly from the beginning. So that to get into the ark was not a problem. Besides, it was an operation of God, please understand. God sent them in. You say, really? Do you know that God sent ravens to feed Elijah? And God caused the dumb ass to talk to Balaam? God can do what we cannot do. So this is just a little digression. So that we understand the whole operation of the ark was totally feasible, totally reasonable. How did the three sons and Noah, four men, build such a big craft? Please understand, they had 100 years to do it. It's not 1 year or 2 years or 10 years. 100 years. They had all the consultations they wanted to make with people who made boats and get them to help them. Of course. So it is quite understandable that Noah had the means to get help to create this craft. Then you say, how did all the food get contained? As I told you, it is such an enormous craft. There is enough space. Also, you don't put in adult animals. Put in all the baby ones. You don't put in the elephant that size, the small elephant, and so on for all the other animals. And so there is so much room. There are plenty of rooms for food, for hay. Do you know that before the flood, all animals and birds ate only fruits and nuts and vegetables? Do you know that? It's all in God's word. It's only after the flood that God says, now you can kill and eat meat. Before the flood, no. Therefore, it's a different environment and a different culture and a different society among the animals. Now, we will not go into all that. I will come to the purpose so that you understand why we talk about the flood and Noah. Noah's flood is to inform you God once judged will yet judge again. First judgment was by water. Second judgment is by fire. Remember the Chinese word zai. Water in above, fire down below. Number one is by water. Number two is by fire. And it is coming. What must we do? I say, believe on the Lord and repent and serve Him. For the time is near. How near is that time? I want you to turn to a verse and then you will conclude. In Gospel according to St. Luke, Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17. Then you are going to wake up. And some of you will be shocked when I read to you the sign of the Lord's return, that it will cause some of you to rethink and replan and reorder your life the way you live. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 28 to 30. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Verse 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, in this passage, the Lord says, you want to know the sign of my coming? When you see the days of Lot on earth, Then you know. Now, I'm asking you, wake up. Do you see the sign of the day of Lot on earth? Answer, yes. Unless you are blind, you don't see. Or you're deaf, you don't listen to the radio broadcast. What does the radio broadcast and what is the news about? Last week in Newsweek. Now, Newsweek, all of us adults will understand. It was announced, now the first gay president of America has appeared. How many of you saw this? All of you are asleep, you never saw it. If not, go into the internet and look. President Obama. Now, who is Obama? You don't know Obama? I'm telling you, he's a man. And he says, from now on, I approve of gay marriage. So the headline on the front of Newsweek is, the first gay president of America has arrived. What does Jesus say? Likewise, Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 28. As it was in the days of Lot, has the days of Lot arrived? Answer is absolutely. America has said it, and that fits in extremely well because the greatest power on earth is the Roman Catholic Church, which practices celibacy among its priests, and it has got 1,200 million members, and it has got a society called the Dignity, in which half the priests are members, and it is well known, the priests, because of celibacy. You know what is celibacy? You cannot get married. But is there any control about the sexual activity? Answer is no. So, they become gays. Dignity is an association of gays for Roman Catholic priests. Obama says, that's good. Roman Catholic says, we do it. Have the days of Lot come? Verse 28. If the days of Lot have come, can the Lord's coming be far away? Watch, therefore, and see the development. Singapore is not far behind. Whatever happens in America comes to Singapore in a matter of years, a few years. 4 years ago, Singapore debated in Parliament, and the decision was not yet. Public opinion is not yet enough. When public opinion is strong enough, gay marriage will be approved in Singapore. How close is the Lord's return? This is the reason why I chose this. If the ark were true, if it was true that God judged the earth once with water, will He not judge the earth a second time with fire? Answer is, of course. Are you ready, dear friends? This is the reason why at Sunset Gospel Hour, we have this time when we discuss and preach from FAQs, frequently asked questions. If you have a burning question that you would like to ask, write it in to me. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant that we may all be alive and awake to see the signs of the times. to know that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is near, even at the doors, as we see the days of Lot now descending upon planet Earth, when America, the only country that was founded on Christian principles and on the faith of the fathers, is now officially, through its president, approving of gay marriage. Oh Lord, help us to understand and to see how close is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will all awake and serve Thee while it is still day. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.